Lecture topic, family rights.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon us all tonight. And may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue being upon us. For indeed, without Allah's peace and blessings and mercy, we will be suffering day and night. We are more in need of the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than we are in need of air and food and drink. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my creator, your creator, and creator of everything we see around us, creator of creatures that we do not see as well, creator of the seen and unseen, creator of everything besides himself. Wa usalli wa usallim ala khatam al-anbiya'i wal mursalin wa afdali khalqillahi ajma'in nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin wa ala Abi Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman wa Ali radiyallahu anhum jami'a wa ala as-sahabati wat-tabi'in wa ala al-a'immati al-arba'ah wa anna ma'ahum wa an dhurriyyatina ila yawm al-qiyamah. May complete blessings and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may they be upon him every time and all the time. And may Allah bless the Khulafa'ur Rashideen as well as the other Sahaba and Tabi'een and those who took part in the Battle of Badr and Uhud and Khandaq, and those who took part and pledged the allegiance under the tree in Hudaybiyah. May Allah bless them. And may Allah bless the four illustrious Imams, and may Allah bless us with all of them. And may Allah grant us all Jannah. And may Allah bless our offspring who will come until the day of Qiyamah and keep them steadfast on this deen and make them stronger than us on this deen and use them to be the flag bearers and torch bearers of this deen. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, I am humbled here to be speaking to you tonight. Having heard the follow-up after my previous visits to this masjid, I recall having spoken about the drugs problem. And alhamdulillah, what soothed my ears is that there are steps in the right direction. My dear youth, if you are involved, remember we love you. And I am repeating and reiterating the fact that we adore you and we will help you come out of your problem. But you need to own up. You need to develop a link with the senior members of the community, with your own parents, with the ulama. Come to this particular masjid and speak to the ulama here. And inshallah, you will find help and guidance and assistance. We are here to serve the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is only through the service of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we will attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because by serving them, we will be serving Islam, and by serving Islam, we are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah will continue assisting a worshipper for as long as that worshipper continues assisting fellow worshippers. We would like Allah to help us, therefore we need to help you. And you need to help us, and you need to help the ummah, because when we go, you need to bear the flag, and you need to bear the torch. May Allah make us flag bearers and torch bearers. And if you do not solve the crisis, then there may come a time when this deen will be taken to others, and it will be served by others. Who knows? Our generations may be rejected. May Allah not do that to us. Today I wish to enlighten on a continuation from the topic I spoke of the last time, on the rights of the parents over the child and the child over the parents. Because it is important that we know who are our parents, and we know who are our children, and what do we owe them. And what do our children owe us? And I wish to commence. And before I do, I'd like to make mention of the fact that those who are married and have children, if you've made mistakes, don't worry. We can always rectify those errors, inshallah. We can always rectify the errors by trying our best. None of us are perfect. But the example I'm about to mention is the perfect example. And we need to strive and struggle to get there in one way or another. Once, a man came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu when he was Amirul Mu'mineen and told him, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, this is my son." The son was in his early teens. "This is my son, and just explain to him what his duties are towards me. Explain to him what his duties are towards me, for I have found him transgressing." Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu spoke to the young boy. "This is what you owe your father. This is what you should be doing. This is how you must be respecting him. This is how you must appreciate the fact that Allah has chosen him to bring you into this dunya. Without him and without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wouldn't have been here." And so on. After Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu made mention of all or a lot of the rights, the young boy said, "I have one question for you." It's quite difficult to speak to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu when a person doesn't know what he's saying. Because we all have heard, and we should have heard, what type of a person he was. Very straightforward. He did not beat about the bush, because there was no bush in Arabia, it was desert. He says, "My question is, you have told me what I owe my father. Doesn't my father owe me anything? What are my rights? Don't I have any rights as a child?" And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu mentioned some points, and I want to start with only three of these points. In fact, wherever I've been, I've only spoken on these three points, not more. He says the first right, and listen very carefully, this is more for those who are not married to listen to. The first right that you have over your father is that when marrying, he should have married a pious woman. A woman whom he felt would have brought up his children, meaning you and the others, in the correct manner. Subhanallah. That means in Islam, your unborn child has a right over whom you choose as your spouse. Allahu Akbar. Did we know that? In Islam, when we are marrying, my dear brothers and sisters who are unmarried here today, do not just go out and choose the next most good-looking character outside there, or the next person who's the richest, and so on. But remember, you are going out to choose someone who can rear your children for you. You are going out to look for the mother of your children. Look for someone who has some religion in them. And in the case of the women folk, you are looking for someone who can be the fatherly figure of your child, the hero, the role model of your own child, someone who can serve as the father figure in the home. You are looking for a person who is responsible, not just a person who has wealth. That wealth will diminish. Not a person who has good looks, because after 40 you begin to wrinkle. Unless you live in Cape Town. Then possibly it starts at 50 or 60. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. I have to see if you're awake. So, if we base our decision on character and conduct, it can only become better, inshallah. And if we base our decision on spirituality, I don't know of people who become worse when they grow to 50 and 60 years old. They become better. They become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the faces in the masjid. A lot of us are old, including myself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. But if we've based our decision on beauty, I told you it goes away at times. And if we based our decision on wealth, it can go overnight. How many have we seen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the rules and regulations regarding wealth and finance in Islam, and the rules of zakat and so on. And then he says,
كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ.
These rules are set in place so that wealth does not remain in the hands of the rich forever. It must turn, it must go round and round. The rich become poor, the poor become rich, and so on. But those who are medium, remain medium, inshallah. Mediocre. Those who know how to strike the balance. May Allah grant us the acceptance to engage in monetary acts of worship so that He does not take our wealth away. And for those who do not have wealth, we make a dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that wealth that will come as a blessing and not as a punishment. So that was the first right. Imagine, the child looked, he thought. And I want to repeat that right. What is it? Your father should have married a pious woman who would rear the children Islamically. Allahu Akbar. We could speak on that for the entire night.
An unborn child, you may never have children, but you have to marry the right spouse for the sake of Allah. Just in case you have those children, they want, or they should be, the champions of deen. How will they be? If al-ummu madrasatun, which means the mother is a school on her own, that mother hasn't really been to a school of spiritual fitness. That is the first. Then let's get to the second. When you were born, your father should have given you a good name. A good name. That's quite simple to understand. A good name. Today, people want to choose names that sound nice and they have no meaning. They sound nice, they have no meaning. One Muslim sister phoned me once and told me, what is the meaning of maduna? Maduna, that which is without or below. It's definitely Arabic. Maduna dhalik. Yes, it is there. But what are you trying to get at, my dear sister? You want to call your child Madonna. And you want me to give you the go-ahead. And I gave her a long lecture. And I like to give positive lectures, but that day it had to be negative. There was no ways. Imagine naming your child, using one of the scholars to try and give you a green light. Who gave the name? Oh, Ismail. That, you know, the same mufti we are speaking about. Yeah, he told us it's fine. Astaghfirullah. May Allah save us. The right of the child, that you name the child. Some people change their names when they grow up because they're dissatisfied with what their parents called them. I hope if anyone has done that, it's for the right reasons. And the third is that, oh young boy, as you grew up and you learnt to utter words, the first words that your father should have taught you are the words of the Quran and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The young boy looked and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, my father married a girl off the street, a slave girl. You, that is dangerous. And he gave me a very bad name. And to this day, I don't know anything of the Quran. Automatically, the admonition shifted from the child to the father. Why do I say this today? It is our duty to teach our children as well. To inculcate in them values as parents. To inculcate in them respect of others. They do not respect us because we do not respect ourselves. The words we utter in their presence, we need to be very careful what words we use. We've forgotten that. Those who have the habit of smoking must ensure that they never smoke in the presence of their children. How can we swear our wives in the presence of our own children? In fact, we shouldn't even be swearing them if our children are not there? Even in the privacy of our room, how can those words come out of our mouths? Recently, I attended a conference of Muslim schools in Pretoria. And one of the fine educators from India happened to ask a question connected to the role model. He asked, how many of you, your role model is a teacher or a parent? The results were that the majority had a role model who was neither a teacher nor a parent. So what do you want from the child now? Who is bringing up this child? Not you, not even the teacher, but children just like the child, other children. The child is being brought up by children the same age at school and elsewhere. And I tell you, those whose role model is a parent, they are the biggest success stories. Because the parent is there 24/7. Those whose role model is a parent who happens to be a teacher at the same time. Nurun ala nur. May Allah grant us all understanding. You've learnt from your father. That is the asl. That is the original method. Your father is supposed to have taught you. Sit down here. Listen, my dear son. When you eat, this is the type. This is how you should eat. Ya ghulam, sammillaha wa kul bi yaminika wa kul mimma yalik. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught those who lived with him. Oh young boy, when you eat, say the name of Allah, Bismillah. And eat with your right hand. And eat from that which is closest to you. Don't stretch. And so on. How to put in a morsel in your mouth? Who is going to teach you that? How many of us are guilty, not only of not teaching our children, we don't even know. We don't even know. How many of us have sat with our children and developed the confidence of the child? How do you develop the confidence of a child? Every time the child does something wrong, we start screaming and shouting, hey, stop doing this. I'll give you a hiding, and so on. Yes, once in a while it's healthy. And when we are admonishing the child or using the stick, the intention, Islam says, is not to cause bodily harm. It is just to serve as a reminder. As a reminder. And I want to raise another point regarding wives. Some men say, no, the Quran gives us permission to beat our wives. Go and look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. How did they interpret the verse? They used the miswak and they used to just attract the attention. You see why? Sometimes a woman doesn't want to look at you. You're talking to her. She doesn't want to look. So to attract the attention, you don't take a cricket bat or a baseball and you start saying, hey, look here or else. And now most probably if she says, or else what? You'll say, or else I'll put it down. May Allah save us. Because you know she'll probably beat you even in a worse manner. A siwak was used just to draw the attention. Hey, listen to me. You know, just look here. What you did was not fair. Engage the brain rather than just imposing. So a little child, instead of just scolding and shouting, why don't you involve the child in decision making from a very early age? Now you must be thinking, this man is crazy. How can we involve a child in decision making at the age of 7? No, I am not talking about the big decisions of the house, a minor issue. Listen, my son, come here. You know, we want to have breakfast in the morning, either at 7 or 7:05. What do you say? Does it make a difference? What are you doing? Only you are building the confidence of the child. If the child says 7, so let it be. Okay, exactly 7, we'll all sit here. You be here as well. Today we want to listen to you. Exactly 7:05. Whatever the child says, the difference is 5 minutes. Are those major decisions? Nothing. But at least the child feels confident. Hey, my father respects me. And the child will respect you in return. Subhanallah. My son, come here. We want to buy shoes for you. Do you want the white shoe with the blue or the blue shoe with the white? Wallah, it's the same shoe you're talking about. If it's blue with white, bring it. It's blue with white. If it's white with blue, bring it. It's still white with blue. It's like someone asking me, does a zebra have, is it black with white stripes or white with black stripes? Brother, it is a zebra. Yes. It reminds me of my own teaching when I tell the people white and blue and white. It's the same thing. But the child feels important. And the child will never know what you said. But we need to help the child, build the child's confidence Otherwise, the child will live in a cocoon. And what will happen? The day it comes out, you will be the first victim of the wrath of that child. The child will never respect you. A child makes a noise. I mean, how many of us are adults and we still make noise? Then we want to say, shut up. Why do we not choose the right words? The day we say, shut up, the child will say back to us, back to the mother when we are not there, or back to the father. Nowadays, it's the other way around, isn't it? I had a man who came to me with a bruised face. I said, what happened? He says, husband bashing. I said, oh, amazing. The tables have turned. It's a round table. It's quick to turn. We rather choose words that are more beautiful to say, listen, keep quiet, please. Brilliant. If you raise your voice, you lose respect in the house. How many of us scream so loudly that really it makes us look ugly? Do you know that there are marital problems that are caused by screaming? Just screaming. The more you scream, the more your spouse dislikes you. Honestly, screaming is a bad habit. Try to stop it and you will find happiness in the home. Sit with your wife, with your husband and agree tonight. Say, you know what? From tonight, our volume doesn't go above 3. I hope 3 is not the maximum. But it doesn't go above 3. You either say, keep quiet. Or you say, keep quiet. Or you say, keep quiet. And that's it. It cannot get worse than that. And it shouldn't. And sometimes instead of saying, keep quiet, you can use even a better word. Silence. It's a better word. You've got a choice. Why don't we use our brains? These are children and amana from Allah. Let me give you another example. Someone goes for Hajj and they give you the keys of their house and say, brother, look after this house here. What have they done? Have they given you license to now go in and say, I don't like this toilet, take it out, call the builder, remove this thing here, take that out, take this out. I don't like the way this the kitchen is placed, to take the stove out of here and put it there. It's not your house. It's an amana. You got to give it back. In the same form or in a better form. You can put a tray of chocolate so when they come in, they can see, mashallah. That is a house. If someone gives you their car and says, listen, I'm parking it here, you can use it, but I'm going to be back anytime. Once I'm finished my work, I'm going to be back and I'm going to come for this car. What will you do? Can you now change the wheels and the tires and the mags and the color and the paint and everything and sell it and buy another one and say, listen, when he comes back, no, you know what? You had a Mercedes and now I've got the latest Corolla for you. Is it fair? You either give him, you say, look, you had a Corolla, it came in here, I decided I had a good deal, I sold it and I got you the latest Merc. Does it sound better? He say, oh, jazakallah khair. Next time he'll come to you with 2 cars. It reminds me of a person. He went to borrow a pot from next door when he had a wedding at his house. You know a deg, they call it a deg in the Urdu language. He went to borrow the big pot from next door. So he used it for the wedding. And thereafter, he forgot to return it. So when he forgot to return it, he felt guilty because the neighbor asked after a few months, hey, what happened to my pot? He says, oh, that pot gave birth. That's why it was in confinement. Look at the excuse. And he gave back a pot with another little pot inside. He said, oh, the neighbor was so happy, excited. Next time he asked for one pot, the neighbor gave 3. When the neighbor gave 3, the pots never came back. The neighbor was happy. He said, now I'll have 6. So now what happened is, when the neighbor came 2-3 months later, what happened to my pots? The man began to cry. They died, brother. Allahu Akbar. May Allah save us. So I was saying about the motor vehicle, when we give it back to the owner, we either give back the same car as it was or better. Our children are also an amana from Allah. We have got them from Allah as a gift. Ask those who don't have children how much they cry. May Allah grant them children who will be the coolness of their eyes. And when we have a child, that child is similar to this amana that I spoke about moments ago. We either give it back to Allah better or exactly how it is. We understand it when it comes to someone's house and car. Why don't we understand it when it comes to our children? And Allah says, I'll take it back anytime. Your child might leave during your lifetime. It might leave in infancy. It might leave at the age of 16, 17. And if you haven't taught it a thing, him or her, a thing regarding Allah, that child will grip you by the neck on the day of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, my mother, my mother. She wanted me to be a big doctor, not realizing that it happened at the expense of this day. I was dying at 16. I died at 16. I don't know the Quran, but I can read to you my chemistry book. Does it help? No, it doesn't. I am not saying do not pursue studies. No, balance it with the education of Islam. Balance it. You can become a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, and everything within the limits of Islam and the Sharia. And you can even go out to work within limits of Islam and the Sharia, bearing in mind the dress code, the separation, and so on. It is not impossible. But what is very vital and more vital is to bear in mind that that child you are educating, have you qualified the education of the dunya and the education of the akhirah, or are you only concentrating on one? If you are only concentrating on one, let's make amend tonight, inshallah. Make an intention tonight. Today, rather than the father teaching, Allah has made it easy for us. We have ulama, we have little madaris, madrasas. We send our children to the masjid, alhamdulillah. What are these ustads doing? They are fulfilling our duty. Allah is not going to ask them as much as He asks us. Yes, they are responsible for their flock, but we are the prime people who are responsible of our children. The decisions are made by us. Allah will say, why did you send your child to that school? Prepare an answer. Why did you send your child there and here? Prepare an answer. Then I want to inform you of something else. After having said that a child is an amana, and we need to prepare the child for both, because you must think of the probability and possibility that the child might die. How many of us have children and we look at the child and we think, this child might die before me? It is normal to think that. Why does Allah put the thought in everyone's mind and heart? Every single parent has thought that about the child, honestly. I don't know of an exception. A doubt goes through your head. What if this child does not live long? What if? Why does that thought come to you? Because Allah is preparing you to say, okay, so prepare the child for that. So prepare the child for leaving prior to that age. And who knows, the child might have an age longer than yours. There was a time when mostly adults used to, the children used to bury the adults. Today the tables have turned, haven't they? How many cases do we have where the adults are burying their own children? Wallahi, I'm telling you, the tables are turning. The lesson is for all of us. This is an amana. Do not be depressed when it is taken away. For if you have looked after it, inshallah, it will be a means of your entry in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and assist us. Now what happens when the ulama fulfill our role for us? They say something minor to the child. Sometimes the child might come home and lie to you as well. Hey, you know what? That sheikh, he insulted us, man. Or he beat me. And you go, you roll up your sleeves. Where are you going, rolled up sleeves? You're going to beat someone who's fulfilling your religious responsibility for you. You're going to shout the alim and the maulana and the sheikh at the madrasa. Why? Because you haven't realized that this person is actually fulfilling your role. Believe me, anyone who has insulted the teachers of his or her child is actually cursing their own child. May Allah save us. Don't. Years ago, our parents used to tell us that when they were in madrasa, their parents used to say, look, the bones are ours, the flesh is yours. That was a famous saying. Which means, listen, you do what you have to for this child. Yes, today, all the madrasas have rules and regulations. Respect the child, teach the child respect. How will you teach the child respect? By respecting even the teachers of the child. If there is a problem and the child raises a problem, don't ignore it. But dig a little bit. Question the child. Try and find possible loopholes in the child's statement. In a very gentle way. Don't just brush it off. Otherwise, that's another problem. And then tell the child, look, don't worry. I will deal with it. Then if you go back to the teacher, You can speak about the problem to the teacher to say, look, I don't believe the child, but the child has raised this. How do you suggest we solve the matter? Simple as that. Respect. You are now living a life of a person whom everyone will make dua for. But if you are going to go rolling up your sleeves, what have you taught the child? Why do you think children do not respect the madrasa as much as they respect the schools? Go into any madrasa and ask them, how many of you have been late for school? No one puts up their hand. How many of you been late for madrasa? The whole madrasa puts up their hand. It's happening. Because the parents themselves are to blame. They're not striking the right balance. Whenever anything goes wrong at home, they say, I'm going to tell your Maulana. I'm going to tell the Sheikh. Why don't they say, I'm going to tell your school teacher, Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so? Why do you want to blame? Why do you want to give a bad name to the ulama? For what reason? May Allah grant us understanding. Then there is another very important aspect. We've learnt from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the company of a person and the friends of a person have the greatest impact upon the person. So now what is the solution? It's a crisis. The solution is you become the best friend of your child. That is the solution. How? By opening discussion at a very young age with the child. Allowing the child to air his or her views. Because if you don't allow that, they will be airing their views with others their age, and they are going to get answers of the questions they are asking from others who are not qualified to answer the questions. They might ask you questions which at times might make you blush. Let's be honest. But you need to understand, you need to respond to those questions in a responsible manner. And you also need to tell your child, listen, those questions ask me, I'll tell you. But if you go to others, it's not going to be right. They might feel offended and so on. Answer the child. And then prepare the child for marriage from a very early age. How? Sometimes some people tease their children. I know a few days ago we were sitting with one youngster, 10 years old. So the father was saying, yes, we're looking for a wife for my son here. And the son says, no, I'm not going to get married. I said, what do you mean you're not? No, never, never, ever. Those are statements. He'll be the first to get married. You see? Because at that age, it's right. He's breaking the ice with the child. So I was sitting in the motor vehicle. We were actually on a journey. And I said, well, we look for a good girl who can be the mother of the children, someone who can give them a good upbringing. What am I doing? I'm trying to let the child listen to what type of a woman he has to look for the day he's looking for one. So from the very early age, he doesn't just fall in love with anyone and vice versa. We know it's a crisis. The method and the approach today most probably is totally haram, but it's happening. What should we do? We should guide our children to try and stay away from it. And if they're going to fall in the trap, they'd rather fall in the trap with someone whom you can approve of tomorrow to say, no, that's a good choice. Allahu Akbar. May Allah save us. Look how low we've had to stoop here. There is a crisis in the Muslim Ummah. We are not in any way condoning the illicit activity that is going on outside. No. But we are trying to say, damage control will only be possible if you thought of it in advance. You are forced to send your children. We can't just lock our children in the room and leave for work every morning and come back and open the lock and say, phew, my child is still there. Because the day the child is let out of that cage, it will spring straight to the nightclub and straight to the bar and straight to the opposite sex and so on. May Allah save us. فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَادْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. Allah speaks of the orphan child in Surah An-Nisa. And Allah says, وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ. You must test the child when they get to a certain age. When they get to maturity and puberty, test the child. Read the tafsir of that. How to test the child is explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give them a responsibility and see how they fulfill it. When they come back, guide them. Tell them, look, we can do better inshallah. Excellent. Commend wherever commendation is required. Commend. Some of us, we just look at the negatives. Hey, you're wrong here, you're wrong there. You did bad, you did this. A child came out third in the class. You say, not good enough. What do you mean not good enough? The child is third. Tell them brilliant, excellent, mashallah. A child passed 10 subjects but with C's and B's. You say, ah, there's no A's here, man. What are you doing to the child? How many doctors have we ever gone to for a heart condition? And we say, doctor, hang on, before you operate on me, what did you get for matric? Has it ever happened? No ways. We're not interested in what the doctor got. He could have failed 10 times just as well. No one told you that. Or you'd say, hang on, let me die instead of coming to you. You failed 10 times. Whoa. So that shows you we need to look at the positive side of what our children have produced and what we have produced out of our children and what Allah has decided to give us in the form of a gift. And whatever is negative, then we need to concentrate on it in a positive manner. I hope you understand my language here. There's a problem. Rather than saying, shut up, tell them to keep quiet even by the signs of your eyes. Open your eyes wide and look at the child from the corner of your eye. Oh, if the visitors see you doing that, they're going to say, this man must be murdering his children when we're not here. But whatever it is, these are different methods of solving the same crisis. A child breaks something in the house. Hey, now, and you start screaming and clapping the child up. You might have broken it. It could have slipped out of your hands. Think carefully. What are you doing to the child? You are creating a distance between you and your own child. But if you are a true friend, say, don't worry, we'll cover up before mommy comes. We'll cover up before daddy comes. So that the child knows it's done something wrong. Or at the same time, say, don't worry, this is the first. If you do it again, we might react differently. Finished. You've told the child something. Don't even scream. How many of us, when the child has broken something, we can look at the child and say, don't worry, I'm here. We'll clean it up. Come, help me to clean it. This is how you should do it. That's what's more important. Only when it's a child of a guest who's come to your house and your child sees double standards. Why? Moments ago, the child broke something and got slapped. And now the visitor's child breaks something and says, no, don't worry. Make sure you don't get hurt with a glass, man. That's exactly what we're doing today. Look at the doubles. Now your child is looking and thinking, ah, I'm going to fix this daddy of mine now. I'm going out. I'm going home. I'm going away. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to my friend's house. The child thinks. The child has a brain. No double standards in the house. That's what you owe your children. You must measure everyone with the same measure tape. And befriend your child. Be a friend of your child. You tell your child, listen, so who do you like here? Come on, don't lie. There's all these girls here. Who do you like? The child says, no, nobody. Not at all. No, daddy. He say, listen to me. You wait until you're older. We're going to get you someone who's like this, like this. And say the qualities that you want your child to look for. Say them. And when you ask the child, who do you like here? You did not ask the child in order to get a negative answer. Just in order that you can raise the topic. And you'll be surprised how many will say, I like that one day. You'll be surprised. From the age of 5 and 10, they'll tell you in their classroom who they love. And they've got a crush on. May Allah save us. But that is the condition of the ummah today. I'm being honest with you. We need to deal with it. And I repeat again, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning that type of behavior. Not at all. I'm only presenting methods of dealing with the crisis once it's there. And thinking of it in advance. Like I did the last time when we spoke on drugs. Now when you've got a good link, you can talk to them. Say, you know what? The type of friends you keep, can I tell you what type of friends you should have? Have good friends. People who don't swear. People who like their parents and so on. And go out and play with your child. Play with a little football. Take your child recreation. That's why I tell people who work from 5 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night to say, do you know what? You're going to be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. You're going to earn money. Yes, for what? For the betterment of your family. That family is not going to be there in a few years time. They're going to be on the streets on drugs and alcohol because you were never there for them when they most needed you. It is worth 10,000 rands to have a meal with your whole family. Remember that. So if you are having one meal, the evening meal for example, with all your children and your wife put together, you can smile at each other, help each other out, and look, that is worth 10,000 rands. Believe me. And the weekend comes, switch off your phone, put it on the side. You spend your time with your children. Let them love you. Football? Okay, with me, let's go. We create a team. Bring your friends, come. I also want to play, come on. Have 2-3 parents come, 2-3 children. Let them score goals. You know, when we were young, we used to say they're playing for butter and beans. Make sure they don't hear you say that. It means they're playing just like that. You know, we're not serious when it comes to them. We don't want to use those terms because children understand, even at the, what do you mean I'm playing for butter and beans? You playing daddy for butter and beans, not me. I scored the goal properly. You guys are the ones, we let your goal go through, daddy. Yes? And trust the children, they might play better football. They might have to do that so that you feel nice. May Allah save us. So, this is the relationship we should have. It's an Islamic relationship. And we have a crisis in the ummah. We need to solve it. Now let me speak to the youngsters. What do we owe our parents? Remember, I cannot discuss every single point tonight. I've just created a thirst to say, look, we should really have a brilliant relationship. What do the children owe the parents now? Now, before I get to that, what's of vital importance is that ourselves, within our marriages, make sure that you understand that we are not marrying so that we can go to Hawaii on a holiday and have fun. Because if that's why we married, the day we return from Hawaii, there's a divorce. Everything is over. The fun I had is gone. I married you because you had bucks. Because you had money. The day the money is over, everything is over. No. We need to understand, when you marry, it is a very big sacrifice. Listen to me, oh men and women who are here married today. It's a very big sacrifice, give and take. There will be things you don't like. Listen, two brothers brought up in the same home, sometimes they don't get on. Agreed. What about people who have had a totally different upbringing? Do you think they're going to get along all their lives? One mother, one father, brought up in the same way, two brothers, brothers and sisters, they don't speak to each other for 10 years. It's happened. I'm sure you know of examples. So now you expect husband and wife brought up in two separate environments to suddenly click like a house on fire. And do you know why they call it house on fire? Because a fire burns down a few things, doesn't it? Yes, it burns. No, we need to sacrifice. We need to help each other. Understand, don't doubt. The biggest sickness in marriages is suspicion. If you don't trust the woman, why did you marry her? If you don't trust his use of the cell phone, then why are you with him? Why were you with him in the first place? And remember, I know and I can tell you through experience, those marriages where they decided to get together after a huge problem, they are far more solid than those marriages that have not had problem yet at times. Because now you've realized, hey, I fell and my wife helped me get up. I fell and my husband helped me get up. I owe that to them. You realize it in a lot of the cases. And I'm telling you this because I am involved as well in this counseling. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from one and all. And may Allah save us all. Now if we have a bad relation, any small thing, right? I want to go. A lot of the women, small thing, I need a talaq. I'm going to Maulana. Oh, huge applications. What's the problem? He swore. Well, everyone swears. They beat as well. You're lucky he doesn't beat. Oh, he beat me. Oh, well, they bruise as well. You're lucky he hasn't bruised. They use knives in other marriages. And the women come and say, well, at least he's given me a house. I'll stay there. Think of it. Sometimes a jealous element. I know of a real case where there was a woman who phoned and says, you know what? I know this is the house of Allah. Let me try and tone down this problem. The woman says, you know what? Your husband's committed the sin with me, this woman is saying. To who? It's an anonymous caller. She says, and I can describe your whole house for you. I can prove that I was there. So this woman comes and says, I need a talaq. And I looked at her and I says, you know what? You are here with this man. Who is this man? She says, this is the man we're talking about. It's a husband of mine that I want a talaq from. The fact that the two of you have come here together is a sign that there is still a flame on the candle. And to be honest with you, I told her, to me, it's a lie. It's a jealous element. Someone else wants to get hold of this handsome, fine husband of yours. So the only way they can come into the picture is if you are out of it. And the only way they can get you out of it is to make a call to you and to tell you these things. She says, I didn't look at it that way. I said, yes. Now you are falling exactly into the trap. Exactly where she wants you. She wanted you to ask for a talaq. As soon as she phoned, you asked for the talaq. Remote control. Not even remote control. Voice control. She spoke to you and you're doing what she wants. Why do we have to react in the way of shaitan? No, come back. Yes, you can discuss the problem. Listen, my dear husband, today somebody phoned and this is what they said. Accept his explanation. Accept it. If you don't, you're going to cry. And you're going to cry more when the person who planned it comes into the picture. May Allah save us. So remember this. Before we speak about what the children owe the parents need to handle themselves in a dignified manner to make sure that they're living in the house in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happened when people accused Aisha radiallahu anha? What happened? They were lying. If they could lie about the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think they can't lie about my wife and yours? They'll make even bigger lies. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he react? He reacted with silence. With silence. He was silent for a whole month. He was pondering, thinking. He went through great pain and difficulty. Because on one side he says, I know this wife of mine. She can't do it. But if I go out to clarify her name as a messenger of Allah, I wonder what will happen. Imagine what taklif and what pain he must have gone through. For the whole month. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach us all a lesson. That watch this tongue of ours. Don't accuse people. Don't go out to break marriages. If you are a mu'min and you've seen a man going out with someone besides his own wife, talk to him, not to her. Go to him, my dear brother, you know what? Very soon people will start phoning your wife. Why do you want to cause? But now what do? We phone the wife. Hey, I'm an anonymous caller. I'm a good Muslim brother. You know what? I care for you. You know what? You are a good sister, but your husband is doing this. At this time he was here and there. Allahu Akbar. May Allah save us. Is that a good Muslim brother? Someone who breaks a home. Listen to what Allah says in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that shaitan has his HQ on the water. He has his headquarters on the water and he sends his armies every day. And they come back to him saying, fa'altu wa fa'altu. And he says, ma fa'alta shay'a. One says, I did this and I did that. And he says, no, you guys did nothing. Until one shaitan comes and says, I did not leave them until I separated husband and wife. And he says, ni'ma anta. Come, let me give you a prize. Come sit right next to me here. Because he knows, and listen to this very carefully. You know, prior to marriage, what is shaitan's job? To beautify the opposite sex. So now, you're looking at her with the eyes of shaitan. So she's so beautiful and so nice. And shaitan's job is to try and make you commit zina. So now when you marry her, shaitan makes a 180 degree turn the minute you say nakahtuha wa qabiltuha wa tazawwajtuha. Shaitan turns and now he makes you fight. So now when you go back and you're looking at her, you say, but this is not the same woman I knew, man. Honestly, so many come to us with problems and say, but my husband is not how he used to be before. That's because before shaitan beautified something that wasn't even there for you, so you could commit zina. Now shaitan needs you to fight so you can commit zina with someone else. Allahu Akbar. Do you see the plan of shaitan? Shaitan's job, the minute the nikah is made, that's why Allah warns you, ittaqullah, 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 so many times in that particular khutbah. Fear Allah, watch out, be careful, watch your tongue, don't fall in the trap of shaitan, be careful. Remember, even Adam and Hawa are mentioned in those verses for you to know that shaitan also tried it with them and so on. Now when you get married, watch out, let shaitan not separate you, but you go home. First thing, oh, I know of an incident in Johannesburg. They had a big hall, huge hall. May Allah allow us to have our functions within the limits of the Sharia. We definitely need to abstain from things that displease Allah. We have days of happiness on those days of Eid and Nikah. The only being we are, or the only person we are actually pleasing, is shaitan. And Allah, who gave us that happy day, is displeased because of how we dress, because of the intermingling, because of the beat and the dancing. May Allah save us. So there was an incident where the walima, husband and wife, were sitting together, or should I say bride and groom. And the groom says, please pass the salad. And the wife says, get it yourself. He says, talak, talak, talak. And he walked out. Yes, it's a true story. Believe me, it has happened. And when people asked him why, he says, if this is what she can do now, I wonder what she'll do later. May Allah save us. There's no shortage of women in the world. That's what they say. But there's a shortage of men. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding.
And wallahi, my address to the women folk, let us learn. Sometimes I know of people whose marriages are suffering turbulence just because the wife doesn't get up on time and make the beds. That's all. I asked the man, he says, but I divorced her because of that. She must get up and make the beds. Or at least she must get up and clean the room, open the windows and curtains early morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Try to understand your husbands and your wives. I better not say wives, your wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our sisters the ability to comprehend. Wallahi, it's not my ruling. The issue of polygamy is not from me. It's from Allah. He knows why it's there. It's not my issue. I cannot deny it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance to understand it at least. Especially the women folk. Normally you won't hear that ameen coming very fast from the women. So here we have a crisis whereby the children are brought up confused because there is a problem between husband and wife. And many a time the children are used as scapegoats. You know, I look at people who have divorced and the mother or the father are using the children as a weapon. No, you mustn't go to mommy, you mustn't go to daddy and so on. They want to lie to them sometimes to say that this person is not even your father. Sometimes that is what happens. They change their names and so on. And I look at them and I say, they are fooling none other than Allah. And the ones who suffer the most are not you or me, it's the children. The children, they hate their children if they do that, honestly. Why? Because they have not realized and understood that the link on the day of Qiyamah, the child will be looking for the real parent. And you have blocked it all your life. What answer are you going to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What type of children do you expect? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a savior. So there's a lot that can be said regarding husband and wife relationship. But we need to understand sacrifice. Do not raise your voice. Do not swear at each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran.
Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun.
They are like clothing unto you and you are like clothing unto them. What does it mean? Wallahi, I can speak to you for 1-2 hours on that. Just on that verse. Look, clothing. Now we are all wearing clothing. How many of us are wearing something that's too small for us? No one. How many of us are wearing something 10 sizes bigger than us? No one. Everyone wears his size, a size bigger, a size smaller. Something that fits and looks decent. When you are looking for a wife, look for someone your size. And I'm not talking of physical size. I'm talking of a spiritual size. I'm talking of kafa'ah, your level. Your level of living. Similar or one step higher, lower, no problem. But how can someone marry a person who is extremely different in every single way? The Quran is saying, it may work. But the guidelines are like this. I'm not saying it won't work. It may work if you are lucky. But you're taking a risk. A very big risk. I mean, just imagine someone who's size 12 and they're wearing a size 8 jacket and they're walking around like this. No one would do that. That's why Allah says, they are like clothing unto you. Every example of clothing fits into husband and wife. Let me take it even further. When it's cold, what do? We put on a jacket. Why? It protects us from adverse weather conditions. A spouse should protect you from adverse outside conditions. People try to attack, damage, you must cover. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came down to Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala anha. What did he say? Zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me, Allahu Akbar. They should be a form of protection for one another. Today, what protection do we give our spouses? Let's be honest. We are ready to disgrace them in public. We are ready to believe rumors about them. What protection from the outside world and from the adverse conditions are we ready to give them? Another thing, you have had an operation on your stomach from one corner to the other. Can anyone see it? Only your clothing knows. And your clothing blocks it and makes it look so nice and smart and beautiful. What does that mean? When you marry, the innermost difficulties and weaknesses of yours will become apparent and clear to your wife and husband. But it is their duty to cover it and beautify it as it comes out. Allahu Akbar. That is libas. I told you it's a very deep verse. Clothing is so important. then obviously on a very, very hot day you cannot wear a huge jersey, because it will result in sweating, adverse conditions. Don't wear that which is too heavy. It's wrong for the occasion. It is inappropriate. Don't wear somebody else's clothing. Oh, that's a very straightforward example. Don't wear somebody else's clothing. I see we've understood it. Yes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. I think I've said enough when it comes to husband and wife. Let me shift on to the children. The children, they need to respect their parents firstly. They need to understand that the parents are their champions. The parents might have weaknesses, but those are the parents that Allah has chosen. You know, sometimes we think we are old. I read a book recently and I've still got it. La yazalu rajulu tiflan hatta tamuta ummuhu. That's a book. A man remains a baby for as long as his mother is alive. Allahu Akbar. You can be 50, 60, 70. You are a baby. Somebody's baby. Until your mother is alive, you are a baby. Do you phone her? Do you visit her? Do you see her? Do you allow your wife to see her mother, whether she's Muslim or not? Yes, the only time you can prohibit it is when the mother is extremely bad influence. So we are not talking here only to little children to tell them, hey, you must make sure you respect your father and your mother. You are also a child. I am also a child. Both my parents are alive. May Allah grant them long and healthy lives. So we need to understand that we have a duty as children. Our parents, no matter what, we need to make dua for them. We need to go to them, seek advice from them. Especially the mother. We need to sit with her on a regular basis just to listen to her. Mommy, I've come here for you to tell me a story of 1935, 1940, 1945. Tell me what you remember from your childhood. Wallahi, it will make her so happy to relive her youth. Do we know that? 5 minutes, sit with her. You'll be the favorite child. Because no one does that. That's all she needs. Do you know how a mother feels? Let me tell you. This is how a mother feels. The day she was pregnant with you, she was so happy, so happy. She got sick. She began to suffer morning sickness. She went to the doctor. She was in pain. For 9 months, she suffered up and down. No one knows how she handled. Every time you became heavier, she became happier. Every time she couldn't walk properly, she knew the baby's healthy, alhamdulillah. She had medication for you in order to ensure that you were okay. And then suddenly one day, the sound of the ambulance. Allahu Akbar. Why? She's in labor. With who? With you? She almost crossed the line of death whilst giving birth to you. Do you know that? She almost crossed the line of death whilst giving birth to you. That is why men can never fall pregnant. And they can never give birth. They don't have it in them. It's Allah who dictates and who imposed it on women to hold and to give birth. The man's job is the easiest in the whole process. Think about it. May Allah save us. Then you were born. Go and look at the mothers. Those who are married, look at your wives when the children are born. Your mother suffered sleepless nights for you. Sleepless. She gave it up. She made sure at times she went into a different room so that daddy was not disturbed. It happened. And then, when you go sick, she rushed you to the doctor. She fed you. She looked after you. She changed your nappy. Yes, we can be 60 years old today, but that's what happened. When we messed, she was so happy. When we urinated, she covered it up. She never disgraced us. She would still smile at us and make us laugh and smile. And she would quickly clean up, even if we happened to urinate in the lounge. She forgave us. And as we grew up, she became happy. They spent money on us. They looked after us. They brought us clothes. They made sure they took us to the doctors. And as we grew up, they began to teach us words. When the first words came out of our mouths, what joy it brought to them. Imagine if they knew that at 18 you were going to be on drugs. Just imagine. Think about it. Or at 19 you were going to decide to marry someone and keep them totally out of the picture. Imagine. Without even talking to them. Without even trying to convince them. Look, I need to marry this person. Or you were going to hate them at the age of 20. Ya Allah, take my parents away. They're the obstacle in my life. Ho. They just gave birth to you. They suffered for 20 years. Now this is what they get in return. And then they sent you to school. They spent money. They gave you lunch. Your father went to work from morning to evening so he could bring back the 1,000, 2,000 rands so that you could have food. Some of us have had very humble beginnings. Now it's become slightly easier. Others suffered. Some had planted in the garden certain vegetables and fruits so that you could eat because they couldn't afford it. Others used to work 2-3 shifts in order to allow the family to eat. And then they suffered to send you to high school and further and beyond. What do they get in return? The biggest fear. Oh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. I don't even want to mention what is happening today. Do you think our parents deserve it after all that? Especially the mother? Especially the mother? If you'd like Jannah, serve your parents. Serve your parents. There is a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was stepping on the minbar and he said Ameen thrice. One of the reasons why he said Ameen, or one of the du'as, when Jibreel alayhi salam says, woe be and destruction be upon the one who has seen one or both of his parents in old age and that has not resulted in them entering Jannah, or in him entering Jannah, or in her entering Jannah. That means you met one of your parents or both of them. You saw them when they were in old age and you did not serve them. They were not happy with you. May Allah grant us the ability to solve our matters with our parents. If a father makes a dua, or a mother for a child, there is no barrier between that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they have suffered. Allah chose them to bring up this child. Now suddenly the son gets married. The day the son gets married, there is a happiness everywhere. They will look for you. Your mother will help you to identify a girl, a bride. And in the case of a female, a groom. Now the day you marry, does it mean suddenly you just divorced your mother? No, your mother remains your mother. What is her fear? Now my son will forget me. And now the son goes away to Australia or elsewhere. New Zealand, Fiji Islands, Jamaica and so on. Never to even phone to say, you know what, mommy, I've arrived. Mommy, I'm well. Once a month. Oh, believe me, if you have a specific date, she'll sit at 9 o'clock in the morning waiting for your phone call. Believe me. Because that is the feeling. Don't we owe that to our parents? Some of us live with our parents. Can't we spend 2 minutes, 5 minutes with them on a daily basis? How are you feeling? Oh, I've been making dua for your leg. I've been making dua for your problem. They will feel so happy. Do we even sit with them for a moment? This is what we owe our parents. The children, we need to respect our parents. And remember, the parents who are here today, we need to earn the respect of our parents, of our children, inshallah. Earn the respect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. We have a crisis in the Muslim Ummah, in the sense that no one knows what rights who has over whom. And even if people know, they are oblivious. And sometimes people stretch it and say, no, but my father is like this. And no, but I am the exception because my mother is like that. No ways. Allah goes as far as saying that even those who have non-Muslim parents, you are meant to be good to them. The only time you disobey them is when they command you to do something haram. Then you don't agree. But otherwise, if you have a Christian father, may Allah guide all those to Islam, and he tells you, hey, get me the water, you don't need to listen to a please from him. If he says please, it's his goodness. Even if he doesn't, it becomes farad on you. You need to get up and get that water. It's not haram. But when he says, hey, pass me a bottle of beer, you say, daddy, I respect you so much. Really. But my religion doesn't allow me. You don't say, hey, I'm not going to do that. You're crazy. unless you have a good relationship with your father. You explain. And this is the way we will solve the problems of the ummah. Why did I start with the family unit today? Why did I decide to talk on children and parents and children and husband and wife? Because that is the core. That is the core. Today there are two environments. We are concentrating on one. The other is still a chapter on its own. The inside, the internal environment inside the house. That's one. But more important is when your child walks out of the house, who is the child with? That's very important. That is why which school you send your child to is of utmost importance. Which neighborhood you live in. I know of people whom I have advised, shift your neighborhood. Why? Because the child is on the worst habits and the friends are here. If you can afford it, and obviously this is not for everyone. If you can afford it, shift elsewhere so from day one you can help the child get different friends and you physically remove the child from that company. May Allah guide our children. May Allah guide us. May Allah help our offspring. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us and our offspring on deen. May Allah make the challenge of parenting easy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance in the dunya and in the akhirah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.